I wanted to start off, and we're going to do a different, various things today, because we want to not just be, for me to be here and be a talking head and just sharing things from you, to you, but I want to make sure that all of us understand that there are people who actually lived out some of these principles that I'm going to be sharing with some of you. And for some of you who are here through the invitation of your friends, maybe some of us are not even religious, or you're not even a Christian yet, and you're just wanting to find out more about this relationship thing. And there might be some things that might not fully jive with you, or maybe a better way to put it is that you don't have a frame of reference to really understand some of the things I'm going to share. Part of being a good teacher is being able to simplify sometimes hard truths into the context you're in, so that you can understand clearly what is God's heart. And I'm hoping and praying that after tonight, that we will be able to really see a whole church and even a community like this to have great marriages, great relationships, great families in the future. Don't raise your hand, but I'm just wondering how many of us come from broken homes. And I bet you anything, if I were to sit down with your parents who might be either divorced, or they're separated, or maybe they're married still on paper, but they don't live together. If I were to sit down with them and ask them, when you were in love, when you first saw each other, were you planning on being where you are right now? I guarantee you 100%, I can say this with 100% conviction, not a single person, not your mom, your dad, would say, yes, we wanted to get a divorce as we were about to get started. It doesn't work that way. The hope is that you get into a relationship with somebody that you genuinely love, somebody that you know, somebody that you could consider a friend, even a lifelong friend. It's that hope, it's that desire. And through that, understanding that relationships, it is one of the hardest things you will ever do. I'm telling you right now, as a person who's been married for about 21 years, it is one of the hardest things you could ever endeavor. It's harder than running a marathon. It is harder than being on the Olympics. It is hard. So if you see any marriages that last more than 10, 15, 20, and one of my friends, the parents celebrated close to like 40, I forgot what year it was, 40-some anniversary. And some are reaching up to 50s, and that's kind of like where my parents are. And, you know, when you think about that, when looking at my family, they weren't perfect. My parents' relationship, it wasn't perfect. But definitely for them to still stay together and to be able to be committed, that's a testimony to what God can do. And that's why my encouragement to all of us as we talk about this topic today is that we're going to kind of come from different angles, and we're going to have you discuss together. And what you do right now, before you get married, what you do right now will really determine the trajectory of where your relationship will be. And one of the main issues, not the only, but one of the main issues of why there's so many societal issues in this world, a lot of it comes back to families, broken homes. Some of you who cannot even relate to other people, or you have maybe even just different illnesses, whether it's emotional, mental, a lot of it is stemmed from the home. And the problem is that so many of you are thinking, I will never be like my parents. Do you know that your parents said the same thing about their parents, which are your grandparents? To actually live under someone's roof in America is 18 years. But here in Asia, it could be 20, 30 some years. That influence is so strong, more than you will ever know. It shapes your mindset. It shapes your values. It shapes how you respond to situations. And you won't realize this until you are in a relationship and you have so many problems in that relationship. Some of you are in your third relationship, your fourth relationship. And all the broken hearts that have followed after you. That sometimes you will come to that point when you realize maybe it does start from the home. And I want to be the generational breaker. That in my home, there have been alcoholics. In my home, there have been abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. Some of you might be saying, in my home, you don't understand, Pastor, in my home, that there's been a lot of pressure to do well, to succeed. And I know deep in your heart, you want to believe you'll be different, but you won't. How do I know that? Because I said the same thing. Until God, by His grace, had to wake me up and realize that a lot of the things I hated about my parents and the things that they did to me, I'm doing the same thing to my children. And until we decide this evening or sometime in our near future that we are going to do things differently because we want to be a generational breaker. We want to break the cycle of sin. We want to break that cycle that continues to come at us over and over again. And we don't want to affect our future children. We want to see a world that's changed. We want to see a family that sometimes some of us has been shaped by Disney more than anything else. You know, the happiest place, on the, you know, if this is the happiest place, I don't know what you're thinking, but heaven must be, I don't know. And so I want to encourage you tonight as we talk about, I wasn't meant to start off this way. It's not in my notes. It says, but I don't know why, as I was coming in and I just felt the strong sense and burden to share that with some of us who are here. I know some of you heard this relationship seminar. It's going to be a little bit different from what we've done before. And some of you, this is your first time. So wherever you are, I'm hoping and praying that as you hear some of these truths from God's word and from life experience, people who have gone through it, that it would encourage you and also give you hope. Because like I said, some of you are at the other extreme. I will never get married. I hate all guys. All girls are evil. You know, you meet people like that. Guys are pigs. They're dogs. You know, you hear all the stuff. You're like, whoa. So, brothers, gentlemen, when you hear that from a woman, all you have to do is issues. You know, there's something going on. You know what I'm talking about? And so, please, you know, don't avoid them, you know, but just wear hazmat suit. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, okay, those of you who are new, hi, I'm the pastor of this church, and sometimes I say crazy things. Anyway, the reason why we decided to call this relationship talk DTR, which it stands for what? Wow, okay, so many of you know this already. The reason why we decided to call it DTR, Define the Relationship, is because I think we live in a culture today that there's so much ambiguity in relationships. And I think this is one of the major problems when it comes to doing relationships. It's because there is so much ambiguity that we are constantly in angst. Because we're wondering, like, where are we? Are we in a relationship? Are we not? He's doing all this stuff. I think he likes me. Does she like me? No, she's just nice, all right? But anyway, some of you are, like, thinking, like I don't understand. Like, can we define this thing? What is this thing? Are we, like, lunch buddies? Or are we, like, texting friends? What are we? And I think this is one of the reasons why it also fuels a lot of insecurities in people. Some of us in this room are always insecure when it comes to relationships or insecure with that person that you think you're kind of in a relationship, but you're not really sure. And so I'm going to right now say three words. And I'm going to say each word one at a time. And if you know what that word is in the context of modern day relationship, I want you to raise your hand. Now, it's not here to embarrass you, but I just want to get a feel of how many of you know some of these words in relationships. Are you ready? How many of you have heard the word simmering? Okay. How do you say that in Cantonese? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so those of you who haven't heard of simmering, you will learn it today. How many of you have heard the word icing? Wow. We are in a relationship seminar. I just wanted to make sure, right? This is not a Orgo, you know, Cam or anything like that. Okay, I'm pretty certain you know this next word. If you don't, then it's okay. I will just believe that today I'm going to teach a lot of basic stuff. Also, the problem is I read a lot, so I find out the latest slang and all that kind of stuff. The third word is ghosting. Oh, I was like, whoa. Ghosting, or when you get ghost, or that person is a ghost. He ain't no friendly ghost, right? Right? He ain't no Casper. But you know what I'm talking about when you get ghost, or there's ghosting that is going on. So what I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to show you a video. It's by a relationship expert. Her name is Esther Perel. And she shares some of the different phenomenon that goes on, if that's happening today in our generation, due to the nature of relationships and how much it has changed over the years. One of the things that she attributes to this factor is because of the technology that we have. Whether it's through texting, maybe it's through social media, there are so many different things that we have available to us where we can connect with somebody. And that's why some of these things of ghosting, simmering, or icing, these are words that were really invented more recently. And so she's going to try to explain it. So you got to pay attention. I forgot which country she's from. She has a little bit of an accent, but it's very understandable. But I would say that as you're listening, just try to understand. And this is what I'll say. Can I give you a warning? You know, when there's a scary ghost story, like, watch out for that one scene. It's going to come out and that thing's going to, you know. So this is my warning to you as you watch this video. Some of you are going to sit there and there's going to be several emotions that will happen. Some of you will sit there and go, OMG. Like, she just described my life. And you're going to feel naked. I mean, like, metaphorically. Metaphorically naked. Like, you are literally going to get exposed. You're going to be like, oh, man. Because you're in that situation, or she just called out the player. You know what I'm saying? She just called out your game. And so now you guys are like, oh, wow. Some of you will not feel that, but you will feel this sense of anger. How well should I say it in a nice way? You will be a little bit furious. And you will be like, that's what he's doing. Pigs, dogs. Okay. So there will be some of us who will feel that. Others of us are going to now have this feeling of, you better watch your back. Because you're going to be like, uh-huh. Is she doing that? Uh-huh. And so there's going to be suspicion. Like a monster underneath your seat. You know, so you're going to be like, uh-huh. And so I'm warning you ahead of time, because there's going to be a lot of different emotions depending on where you are and where your experiences kind of have led you to. And so as you watch this video, I'm hoping that she will explain to you some of these different terms and why the need for the DTR, the defining the relationship, is such a vital part in having a healthy relationship together. So let's watch this. Okay, we're done. Man, she was on point. When I saw that video, I'm like, that just describes so many relationships. And this is the reason why I think some of us still have not really learned the value of being in a relationship that will lead towards marriage. And I'm hoping, regardless of how you're feeling right now, that your heart will be open enough to ask yourself, is there another way? I'm not saying, please, I want to be clear on this. I'm not saying just because you're a Christian and you try to do it a Christian way that it's going to devoid you of any pain or heartaches or brokenhearted. No. We live in a very sin-filled world that you will get hurt regardless whether you're a Christian or not. Regardless of where you're trying to obey God and follow God or not. And that's why it takes a lot of work and a lot of commitment to be able to have relationships that are not only healthy, but are different from the things that you might have experienced, whether personally, because you've been in a relationship, or you might be in a relationship, or you've seen it through broken relationship, whether from your parents, your aunts, your uncles, sometimes your friends, those who have been in those types of relationships. So I wanted to go ahead and talk through some of this stuff. And before we do, I want you to talk amongst yourselves. And so I want us to, can we just go ahead and get in groups of maybe three if we can? So find those two other people around you right now. If you don't know them, introduce yourself right now. Go ahead and just say hi to them first, all right? Did you find your group of three? You can make a group of four if you have to, if there's not enough, but... I want to give you about a minute to introduce yourself really quickly. All right. In your huddle group, I'm going to ask you to talk about these two questions, and I'll give you about a good six, eight, some minutes. The first question is this: what makes it so hard for people to define the relationship? Why is it so hard to actually do it? The second one is, what are some factors that cause people to have unhealthy relationships? So there are probably some factors. And so let's talk about some of those things. All right. So I'm going to give you a good 6 to 8 minutes, and then I'll let you know when we will come back when there's 30 more seconds. So go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. Okay. 10 more seconds. Finish your thought. Come back together. Okay, this is a little bit of what we're going to do. I want to give you an overview so that we're all on the same page. What we're going to do is I'm going to first share from the Bible just about relationships in general. Not so much boyfriend, girlfriend, that kind of, but just relationships in general. And then from there, I'm going to share some basic principles when it comes to that special someone. And what does that look like? And just hopefully, it's once again, we're not here to prescribe to you what you ought to. Here's the formula, 1, 2, 3, and then you and me, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're married. And you have a baby and all that kind of stuff. But what we're going to do, get married first. But anyway, what we're going to do, what we're going to do is just give you general principles that you could actually apply no matter what situation you're in. Some of you might be kind of wanting a relationship, but you're not really sure what are some of the next steps. Some of you might be in a relationship right now. And so hopefully some of these principles will help you. And then some of you are in that process as you've been in a relationship for some time. I don't know how many people who are in the process of even getting engaged. Is this a person I'm going to marry and spend the rest of my life? So I want to give you some general principles that will help you. And what we're going to do afterwards is we're going to have a panel with two of the married couples in our church. And it's going to be exciting. You know why I'm excited about this? It's because we're going to play this little game and see how close they really are, you know? And then we can sit there and say, do I really want to follow? No, I'm kidding. So we'll play a little game to really hear a little bit of their story, how they got together and all that. And then afterwards, what we want to do is we want to try to separate. We'll try to answer some questions, but then we want to try to separate according to life stages. Because once again, those of you who are in universities, just your mindset where you are right now, it's a little bit different from those of you who are single adults. And single adults range in very various forms. When I was talking to this person today, let me explain. I was talking to this person, and he's an American, I mean, white. And as I was talking to this person, I'm an American too, but anyway... I was talking to him, and he said something that was very interesting, because he said in the States, when you turn 18, you're an adult. And technically, it's not so much turning 18, but when you're able to live on your own. And in America, that's 18. Sometimes it's 21, but it's around that age. You are an adult, and you're in a different life stage. But in Asia, because of the housing prices and many other factors involved, some of you, and I know some of us who know of some people, it might be you, but some of us are in our late 20s, 30s, and we are still living with our parents. So technically, by American standards, anyway, you see where this is going. So I was having this conversation. I go, well, in Asia, it's a little bit different because there's so many other factors that we have to consider. And this person conceded to those things. That's why you could be American on the inside, but Asian on the outside and have a lot of weight because you're bicultural. We will separate single adults, the college students, and then we'll specifically have one of the couples go to each one, and then they will then address and hopefully answer some of the other questions you might have more specific to where you are in your life stage, all right? So turn to somebody next to you and say, tonight's going to be fun. Amen and amen. Let me just allude you to our Bible app that we have, or actually our church app. And on that church app, we have the notes there, as well as the Bible verses and everything that we're going to be looking at. So hopefully it will be a little bit easier for you to follow along. HMCC of Hong Kong, and if you typed it up, whether in the Apple Store or Android, the Google Play, that you'll be able to download that and just have that with you. If you don't, you could turn to your YouVersion or the Bible. And I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to read from verse 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. And the reason why I'm going to have you turn to this passage, and as soon as you turn to it, you'll know what passage it is, because it's a very famous and a popular passage. But I really feel like this really lays down a general but yet a firm foundation about relationships in general. And so that's why I think it's going to be important for us to understand this together as we look into God's word. So Matthew chapter 22, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and start reading from verse 36 through 40. If you don't have a Bible, you could read with somebody next to you. And this is what the word of God says. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So let's go ahead and just talk a little bit about this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight two specific things that we see from this great commandment passage. The first thing is this, that our relationship with God must be a priority. That our relationship with God, before we talk about any other human relationship, we have to understand that our relationship with God must be a priority. It's interesting that Jesus uses the word greatest here. Or if you will, the lawyer is asking this question, what is the greatest? And here's Jesus responding and say, let me tell you what the greatest commandment is. And the important thing about that word greatest is that this lawyer, the teacher of the law, wanted to see what is the most ultimate. What is that one thing that will summarize everything for us? And so this is the heart of this lawyer, probably wanting to test Jesus and to really see if he knew what he was talking about. But all we know is that he asks, what is the greatest commandment? In other translation, it says, what is the most important commandment, according to the version in the book of Mark? And the reason why this is important is because the Jewish people had so many different rules and regulations about how to relate with God. So he's just simply asking, what is the most important, or what is the greatest? And here Jesus simplified all the laws, all the different rules of being in a right relationship with God by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And let me read it to you, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, in different translations, because it's what he said here, but just listen to the different versions of it according to the original, what Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. In the New Living Translation of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Very similar. The Message translation says, love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. So Jesus is directly quoting an Old Testament passage to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then you see in this Message translation that says it's your whole heart and everything that you have, everything that's in you to love God. And the reason why this is important, and let me explain, is that unless our love for God is supreme, every other love will then eclipse God and it will become an idol. What that means is that the number one and the most important relationship here on this earth is your relationship with God. If anything takes priority over that, your heart will be broken because no one can fill your heart the way God can. He is the only one. So those of us in this room, you might not know God. Maybe some of us are in a journey to get to know God more. Some of you are Christ followers and you're trying to love God. The thing is that if you do not find everything that you're looking for, security, love, significance, your identity, whatever it may be, if you don't find it in God, as you realize how much he loves you and now you want to love him back out of the goodness of who he is, then you're going to find those things in people. And this is where many of us, and some of you who have been in relationship where your heart has been broken, you will realize that person can never fill that part of your heart. Only God can. That's something we have to establish, that no human being on this earth can fill our hearts the way God can. That's why Jesus says the greatest commandment, the greatest relationship here on this earth is to be able to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, according to other translations. As I was thinking about this, I realized that being married for 21, almost now 22 years, one of the things that I will say is that there have been many times in my relationship with Christina that I wanted to find like a sense of significance or maybe the sense of security. And there are many times being in this position where you're not the most likable person, right? Because you're going to have to say things that people might not like. They might get offended. They criticize you. I mean, this is part of the ballgame. That's why I always tell people, you want to be a pastor, you better have a soft heart, but a thick skin. Because this is not for the weak of heart. And as I thought about my relationship with her, I realized that every single time I was trying to find something that only God can fully give me in Christ, I would always get disappointed. And that would always lead to a fight. Oh, you don't understand me. You're disrespecting me. And she'd be like, well, you don't care. You don't love me. And it would just go back and forth. Because the thing is this, like, I cannot gain the things that I need from her alone. It has to be God. And vice versa. Because there are times where I don't love her perfectly. And I can't. Only God can. And so the more she tries to seek that from me, she will always get disappointed. She will always get hurt. And it's easy to harden your heart. And I'm guessing that's probably happened to some of your parents. And that's why it was they could not repair that relationship or restore that relationship. That's why our relationship with God, it has to be a priority. Make that something that you pursue after, especially those of us who might not have a relationship with God. Come out to Life Group, as you heard from Bo. Just get to know people who are connected to God and ask them the questions, because the questions of life, why am I here? Why did God create me? You know, what is love? All these things can be answered in your relationship with God. The second thing that I want to mention here is that our relationship with others must be purposeful. So not only must our relationship with God be a priority, but our relationship with other people has to be very purposeful. I thought it was interesting that Jesus now focuses not only on the vertical of to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but now he mentions about loving people around us, next to us. Because can I just say this? God is not about just him and you. If that was the case, all of us would be in a mountain somewhere right now. And we will be a monk or a nun. And we will just be meditating and worshiping Jesus. But that's not the case. We are here on this earth and we have many relationships. friendships. We have a relationship with our parents. We have a relationship with our siblings. We have a relationship with our coworkers. We have a relationship with our roommates, which we don't have, want to have sometimes, but we have a relationship with our roommates, and we have a relationship with our classmates and people in our life group, in our church. So it's important to understand that God did not eliminate relationships with other people around us. He knew that it was important because in many ways, he created us for community. He created us for relationships. That's why when you have a great friendship, it's a powerful thing. When you have people that you could actually call them brothers and sisters in Christ, that they're people that you're willing to give your, lay down your life for, it's a powerful thing because it's from a love of another kind. It's from God and God alone. And that's why now he's addressing the horizontal aspect by saying, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this command, it comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. It says this, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. So here's Jesus, who knew all the letter of the law. And when this lawyer said, what's the greatest commandment? He goes, he's probably thinking, you know this. You studied this when you were a little kid, a Jewish boy. It's to hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one. And he goes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the important thing. But he goes, the second is like this, where it's what? To love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason why it's important to understand this in this book, Leviticus, is because it's talking about how it is so easy to sever a relationship because of anger and wanting to get revenge. I'm wondering how many of us in this room right now, we have built walls around our hearts because we've been hurt. I'm wondering how many of you in this room have a really bad relationship with your parents. For various reasons. It might even be your siblings. Maybe a roommate. Maybe that friend who backstabbed you. Or that person you were in a relationship with and they used you and abused you and just tossed you out. And it's so easy to want to get revenge. It's so easy to want to hurt them back. It's so easy to block off everything all in such a way and block out just any desire to reconcile because they've hurt you so much. That's why Jesus quoted this Levitical passage and he says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because when you love yourself, which we all do, and if you could love people the way you love yourself, then this world will be a little bit a better place to live in. I'll talk a little bit about some of us in this room who do not love ourselves and that how it affects other relationships around us. But just keep that in mind. We see this with the Apostle John. See, Jesus understood that when we love people, it really is our reflection of our first relationship, which is the priority. When we're able to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're able to love people. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21, listen to what he says. He says, we love because what? Everyone say it, come on. He first loved us. Do you understand that you cannot genuinely love people unless you really understand God's love for you? Because any other love without this understanding will be a self-centered love. That's why you will get jealous when that guy talks to some other people. That's why you will get jealous because she doesn't have enough time for you. Because once again, you're trying to fill your heart with the human love that only God can fill. But when you understand that we love and we're only able to love God and only able to love people because God first loved us, that changes the whole ballgame. And he continues and says this, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen, because God is spirit. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also what? Love his brother, which is to love his neighbor. See, when you get your relationship with God as a priority and you get that right, you're going to be able to love people. And not just your future spouse, but you're going to be able to love people. Even those people who are on the streets, those people who treat you poorly, you're going to be able to love them. Then Jesus states that to love God and to love your neighbor, he says, there's no greater commandment. This is it. These two commandments, which make up the greatest commandment, these two, our relation with God making a priority, and that our relationship with others is very purposeful because he first loved us and now we can love other people. He says this is a foundational teaching to all the laws and all the things that the prophets have ever said. Now, can you imagine? Let's just pause here for a second. To apply these two principles in our lives right now, it will radically change your relationship with people around you. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Let me now address four groups of people in this room. Some are like, you don't know me. Don't put me in a category. Well, let me first state these four and go, yeah, I'm in the third one. I'm in the first one. The first group of people in this room, the first group, are the interested and wanting. Okay, let's be clear on this. You're interested in relationship, and you're wanting it bad. The second group are the, interested in, I misread. Yeah, sorry. I think I need to get new prescriptions on my glasses. Anyway, let me start over. There are four groups. No, okay. The first group, once again, is interested and waiting. They are waiting and say, God, when? How long, oh Lord, must I wait? Okay? The second group is, you know, it's the wanting, right? But they want it bad. But they are the invested and wanting. So they're invested in the different relationships. You know how it works. You kind of send out a message, cut and paste, send it to five different people and just wait. Who will respond first? So you are invested because you're getting to know people and you're invested in different relationships in your life group or just in your class or in your workplace. And you're wanting that relationship because like, oh, he's so cute and she's, all right. So we got the interested and waiting and the invested and wanting. And then we got the involved and working. They're working on it. Because as you know, those of you who are in a relationship right now, you realize how hard it is. It takes work. So some of you are in this group. Now you're thinking, Pastor, who is the fourth group? Let me just say this. This fourth group, you don't even deserve alliteration of an I and a W. You are literally the oblivious and don't care. All right, so that's where you are. So there are some of us in this room who have no clue what's going on. La, la, life is great. There are people and you just don't care. And like I said, you don't deserve an alliteration, so just... Can I just say, if that's you, we're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you, and just saying, it's okay. There will come a time. Okay? So, Pastor, end this. I will, by giving some practical suggestions that builds off the greatest commandment of loving God and loving people. So, I am going to, because once again, I like to make things simple. I have decided to use the word bonded. Because in many ways, that's what we see in the first marriage in the Bible. That Adam was saying, you are the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And the two shall leave and become what? One. They are bonded in covenant love. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you six general principles that piggybacks off on the two of loving God and loving people. And then afterwards, we're going to have this panel, and then you can ask more specific questions, either on these six principles or other things. Are you with me? Turn to somebody next to you and give them a holy high five, because you're going to need this. You're going to need this. Are you ready? Here we go. The B stands for build good friendships. That's the first thing that I want to make sure that we understand. You have to build good friendships. Some of you are thinking, why? I don't want to build good friendships. I want to build a good friend. Just a one. Well, some of you might know I want a lot of friends. But listen, the reason why this is important, and I hope you understand the general principle. Everything that you're going to need to have a good marriage, you will be able to develop and work on and see in your friendships right now. Let me give you some examples. If you don't believe me, just think about some of your friendships that you have. Some of you have to try to imagine, but just try. I'm kidding. I am kidding. I am trying to break the ice here, because there's a tension. Because like, what is this? I don't. Okay, so we all have friends. Jesus is your friend. Okay, so you have at least one. Think about some of your friendships, okay? Think about some of your friendships. And think about how you handle conflicts. I guarantee you that's how you're going to handle conflicts when you get married. I'm very confrontational. But in a loving way, of course. Come on. And I realize that's how I am with my friends. And I realize that's how I am with my children. Recently, I came in home really late, and my kids were up, and there was something that one of my kids, they were supposed to, there was something that I needed to ask this child about. See, I'm trying to be neutral, so it's a 50-50 possibility. Well, I could have Skyped, so it could be a third, all right, but possibility. But as I was talking to this person, my child, one of my children, I simply said, oh, well, I got this message from school, and so what's going on? And they're just like, oh, yeah, and they just walked away. And I go, you don't walk. No, I didn't, because I knew if I did, I would have literally burned some bridges. Because I wasn't home all day. And the first thing that I say and the first thing I would bring up is about that. I know that this child will just close up because this child is sassy. Some of you did not catch that. That's okay. So in that moment, I had to use restraint. Even though that is my natural MO, modi operandi, that's how I'm operating naturally, but I realize I gotta bite my tongue and try to approach it from a different angle. And so when you start building good friendships now, you're actually building skills. Like for instance, some of your friends, they bug the living daylights out of you. Amen? Okay, we have a lot of people who don't have friends. Okay, Jesus is your friend. But either that or your friends are like yes men or yes women. I mean, come on. Some of your friends bug you. Who are the ones that test your patience? They're your friends. Sometimes they take you for granted or you take them for granted. Sometimes they blue tick you, hello, but they ain't responding. You're like, what the? That's why if you're from certain countries, you don't do the blue tick. You just do. Turn it off. Okay, I better not go there. This is when it gets dangerous and it's going to get too personal. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is this. Like when you start building good friendships, there are going to be so many different scenarios in that friendship that will force you to work on things that you need to work on. And also, on the positive side, you're learning how to be loyal, faithful. You're learning how to love somebody even though they have flaws. That's why good friendships that you build now will literally prepare you for a future relationship and healthy one. Some of you right now in your relationship with your friends, you're codependent. You're going to be just like that in your relationship with your future spouse. In fact, I would even say before you get married, when you're in this relationship, they're going to feel this like, oh my God, and they might even break it off. Because I'm going to tell you right now, unless that person is also codependent, because when you have two codependent people, it's a perfect match, but it's a dangerous match. And I will say this, and those of you who know my wife, Christina, and I'm sure like some of our panel here will share. That mom, she's an independent woman. Just the way she was raised up with three other brothers. So she's like, I'll show you. I'm like, dang, woman, all right, okay. She was an independent woman that literally, so my type of personality, it attracted me to her. Because all these other girls, oh my God. And I'm like, whoa. Those type of girls, I'm just like, whoa. But she wasn't like that. That's why right away she caught my attention. She's different. And so what I've learned over the years is that a lot of times part of building good friendship is learning how to work on yourself as well as building good traits to be able to have a good marriage and have a good relationship. Let me show you a picture. I don't know how many of you heard. These are my friends that I've known for, I would say the one on the left, do we have those of you who might not know, I'm hoping that they will actually come and speak at some of our retreats and gatherings and things like that, just so that I can introduce them. They came this past week to Hong Kong. I mean, they traveled all the way to Hong Kong, spent thousands some USD to just come out here so we can have a conference together. And this is Dr. Steve Lee. He's a medical doctor, also a pastor. He had a vision when he was in eighth grade, when he envisioned that he was going to go to a country with people with dark skin and minister to them. And since eighth grade, that did not waver. And so he ended up going to medical school, became a doctor, and he went on the field, served in Africa, Kenya, Africa, for many, many years. And then because of health reason, he had to come back, and he started serving as a pastor in a church in Chicago. This is Pastor, so I've known him since eighth grade. Dr. Steve, I've known him since eighth grade. Eighth grade, summer, so towards freshman year in high school. Pastor Paul Kim, I've known him since college. We served in a gospel band together. And I would say he was the purest guy. Look at him, white hair. He just loves God. You know, when you see the glory of God, your hair changes, you know. When you don't spend more time with God, your hair disappears. Anyway, and one thing we love about Paul is that he grew up as a pastor's kid, and his heart was so pure for God. And I remember one time we were talking, and we were on a long journey from Chicago to New York, and we're like, Paul, do you want to get married? He goes, oh, yeah, sure, of course. And we're like, why? You know, some of us were like, yeah, man, we've been waiting for a long time. We want, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And then he's like, because I want to have a child. So I could disciple. I was like, pull over. I just want to like jump off a cliff or something like that. You know, I'm just like, what do you say to that, you know? Really smart guy. He actually was one of the top 1% of the whole University of Illinois. And his name was written on a bronze tablet that he's immortalized in that school. And one thing that he will say was, I wasn't always smart, he says, until I fell off my bike and banged my head, and after that he got straight A's. So we said, okay. So some of us are like, babe, it's not working. You know? Pastor Young, I've known him since college. He was also one of the leaders in Alpha Omega. He's the oldest one amongst us. But he started a church very similar to ours at Penn, the University of Pennsylvania. And he, you know, just a guy who's experienced powerful transformation because he had a rough background. And God changed his life. And he is a pastor in Philadelphia area. Pastor Peter, I've known him probably the longest. He and I, we did things together, things that we should not have done, but we did things together. He made me miss my last day of high school because he came to my house as I was about to go to school with his, back then it was the Chrysler Daytona, tinted windows. He opened up his sunroof, rolled down his window, had his sunglasses on, and he goes, "Let's go to the beach." And I said to myself, this is my last day of high school career. I go, let's go to the beach. So we went to the beach, and we did a lot of other stuff we should not have done. This is Pastor Dave. He pastored right now in Connecticut in the States. He pastored in Philadelphia, Houston, Texas, and also in Chicago, but now he's in Connecticut. Pastor Dave is brothers with Dr. Steve, and he is a pastor in Chicago. And I've known him. Three of us, Dr. Steve, Pastor Peter, and Pastor Dave, and I, we went to the same youth group. So that's my friends here. And I'm sharing this because we did not have the best friendship starting off. There are times I wanted to beat the bejesus out of them. I wanted to kill them. I wanted to, like, why are you in my life? By the way, we were all roommates, and I wanted to punch them, and they wanted to punch me, and we just, you know, we didn't get along at times. And I've been telling them really honestly, if it wasn't for Jesus, we would not be friends. I'll be friends with just a couple of them, but I will not be friends with the other. The thing that brought us together was because of our relationship with God, but also because we served with a great purpose together as we served on a gospel band, traveled around, and led worship, and also to lead people to a relationship with God. And the things that I've learned and the things that I grew as a person was those times when I roomed with these friends. The times, I won't tell you who, but somebody, when they broke up with their girlfriend in high school, they did not go to their mom or dad. They came to me. And at first, I'm just like, what's wrong with your eyes? Is your contacts? And he goes, I broke up. I'm like, oh, I'm like, come on in, man. Come on in, you know? So, like, I had no sensitivity, no sympathy, no empathy. I'm like, what's wrong with you, man? Why are your eyes red, you know? But once again, I've learned how to love people. I learned how to stay faithful and loyal to people, even though they've gone through so many difficult things in their life. And the same for me. So I want to just encourage us to build good friendships. The O, so the B is what? Build good friendships. The O is open up to your spiritual community. There's something really important about community, accountability, mentorship. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says in the Message translation. Fools are headstrong and they do what they like. Wise people take advice. I think one of the reasons why so many of our relationships break apart is because, number one, we don't have good examples. Number two is that we think we know what we should do. And I'm going to tell you right now, when there are people who have gone through life a little bit ahead of you, there are so many things you can learn. Let me put it this way. So many of you would die. You would die to spend some time with the CEO of a bank because you're in business right now. Some of you would love to intern or work at Google because you're dealing with computers and all this other stuff. You would like to learn from an expert engineer or a seasoned engineer. Or maybe some of you are in the arts or maybe education. I don't know what you're studying or what your field you're in right now. Why is it that in this realm, we always want to seek advice and to learn from somebody? But when it comes to relationship, it's hands off. This is my thing. And what I've noticed is this is the reason why so many of us make the same mistakes that other people have made in the past. But if you can learn from somebody who have been through relationships, who have gone through some things in their lives, you can get wiser. That's why you have to open yourself up to community, to people who love you, people who are committed to you. One of the worst things that you can do, and listen to me carefully, is to bring your relationship underground. Let me put it in a different way. If someone were to find out about your relationship and they're like, what? What? I'm telling you right now that it is not going to help you. And I hope you understand, and I'm going to say it in a way that maybe, hopefully it won't be too offensive, but you understand my heart. The reason why relationships should be open to the community is because oftentimes when it's not, it just becomes you and that person. You get very tunnel vision. There are a lot of things you will not be able to notice. For instance, what if she's really like a taker? She just takes everything. She's self-centered. But you just think that that's normal and you're just kind of like giving in all the time. But then in your community, they see this and they're like, man, every time I see you guys, it seems like she's always like demanding things from you and you're just kind of giving in and that takes you away from other commitments you've made. You won't be able to see that unless you're in a community. In the same way, one of your girlfriends might be like, how's your relationship? Because I don't know, I just feel like he's very controlling. He says certain things and it just seems like, and you, for you, you just think it's normal. And so when you open yourself up to community and other people, accountability, what happens is that they're able to see things that you might not be able to see. And so it guards you. I was talking to one of the pastors and he was just sharing about this, one of the guys that he discipled for many years. And he said one of the most painful things that he saw with this person that he loved as a brother. So even though he was a pastor, this person was one of the leaders and he cared for this person, is that he was single for a long time. And all of a sudden, he met this girl and he was awestruck. Let me just say this. She was almost like a Korean pop star. And he was like head over heels. But the problem was all his friends, the people who loved him, people who cared for him, said, you know what? This is not good. We're seeing things that are not really healthy. But he got angry, of course, because you're so focused on yourself, so focused on that girl, that you don't want to hear anything different. And this pastor was just sharing how he even saw that this is not healthy. And so with all the people that have spoken into this person's life, this person said, you know what? You guys are all against me. And this person ended up marrying this girl. It went well until the honeymoon. When he said, they got into their first fight. Because it was time to go back to the real world and she didn't want to leave. And he's like, we need to go back. She goes, no, I want to live here forever. And this is when he says, uh-oh, something's not right. She ended up getting pregnant, and they had a child. A cute little girl. And what happened was, she just started to, the wife started increasingly, just started getting agitated, very angry, almost despondent. And he was doing everything possible because he was awestruck. And so he did everything to try to please her. And then one day she said, you know what? I'm thinking of going to Korea, going back to Korea because I want my parents to see our child. And he says, yeah, I think that'll be good. And, you know, because this person, he worked in a certain profession that made somewhat of a lot of money, but it wasn't enough for her lifestyle and what she wanted. And all of a sudden, he comes home after work and the house was empty. And she was gone. I'm listening to the story and I'm gripped to think to myself, like, what in the world happened? And the conclusion was this. She came from a very difficult background. And please don't misunderstand me, because some of you who come from a different difficult background doesn't mean that you can't get married or you're going to be just like that. That's not what I'm saying. Because you can, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed. But she came from a very difficult background. And because her father spent time in jail because of finances, her whole life was governed by money. And she thought that if she could marry this rich Asian American guy, that she, all her financial woes would be gone. He made a lot of money, but not enough for what she wanted. And this is not the marriage she wanted. And she took the kid and went away. When I heard this, you know when your heart just starts hurting? And what I'm trying to tie this in with is simply this. Prior to them getting married, there are a lot of people said, warning, warning, there's something that's not right, by people who loved him and knew him and cared for him. If you do not open up your life, your relationship to community, then you're going to literally be blinded by their looks, by their reputation, by their sense of humor, by their personality. Something will capture your attention and you realize this is not good. Let me just let that sit for a little bit. Because some of you might be in a relationship right now that people are telling you something's not right and you're not listening for whatever reason. The B is what? The O is? And the N is, notice the potential in people. You guys know the story of the ugly duckling? I'm like, I know that story very well. I'm waiting. You know that story, the ugly duckling, and all of a sudden, because he wasn't a duck. He was a swan, baby. Come on now. You know that story. And so I realized that some of us, we only see people where they are right now. You have to be able to notice the potential in people. You know, it's amazing whenever I say, hey, brother, what's up, man? Like, are you interested in anybody? No. And then, because I have this responsibility of trying to like, I hate it. I'll be honest with you. I hate this. This is one part about my calling I just hate. And this is how it goes. This girl comes up to me, Pastor, can I meet with you? I'm like, sure. We meet. And she goes, I don't know how to share this. And I go, just share it because I'm blunt. And, you know, just tell me like it is. Well, after about 20 minutes. Okay, well, there's this guy that I like. Okay. Like, if you want me to do something, you got to give the name. You know, give me their name. If you say there's a guy I like, it could be Mr. Wong over there on the street. I don't know. Come on. Give me the name so then I can give you some background information, see what's up. And so they'll finally say, yeah, it's Mr. Wang. No, anyway, it's like, I like this guy in our church. So then I'm like, okay. So then I need to find out if it's reciprocated. Because then I need to go up to that girl and say, you know what? Why don't you pray for Mr. Bong? I don't know. I'm like, well, pray for somebody else. I'm just like, I don't know. So I will go up to this brother, go, hey man, are you interested in anyone? They're like, no. I go, you know, there's so many nice people in our church, you know, and like, who are some people like, you know, they're like, I don't know. And then I'll be like, okay, describe to me the kind of woman that you wouldn't mind marrying. And then he would describe. And then I'm like, that could be like 10 girls in our church. So I'm like, that doesn't help. So I say, tell me a type of girl that you cannot see yourself with. And then he would describe. And guess what he did? He described her. So then I go back and say, hey, sister, Jesus is your friend. And Jesus loves you so very much. There are other times when the guy comes up and says, "Pastor, I've been praying and there's this girl that I've just been interested in. I'm not really sure." So then I'm like, okay, I take credit card, check, whatever. No, I'm kidding. So I said, okay, now I know my calling. So I go up to this sister. I go, so whenever I go, "Hey, let's meet," they're like, "Uh-oh, did I do something wrong?" I go, "No, no, you didn't do it wrong." Like, "Why do you always think you did something wrong? Don't worry, I just want to get to know you." "Well, you come in here and you talk about this. You know, I just want to come and just get to know you. I want to know, you know, I want to get to know you." And then I'm like, "You know, are you interested in anybody? You know, you're 26, 27, you know, I'm like, you know, is there anybody here?" And then they'll be like, "Yeah." And then I'll be like, "Well, describe someone that you're interested in. Like, what kind of guy are you?" And she describes some traits, and that's like 20 guys in our church. So I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. "So can you describe the kind of guy that you would be open to?" And she describes this guy to the T. And I'm like, doing. My radar is like, ping, 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 ping. And I'm like, I go, "Well, like, there's some people who have those traits. There's one, okay? And you better marry him." So I'm kidding, I'm kidding. So I'm like, "Well," and then I was like, "Have you ever thought about, you know, so-and-so?" And that's kind of how the relationship sometimes would get started. Now, why am I sharing all this? Because I've had many conversations. Whenever I bring up someone's name, they'll be like, "Ew." No, it's not just that. It's like, "Ew." And I'm like, you, yes, or you? What? And what I realize is the phrase that says familiarity breeds what? Contempt. When you see them every single week, you see them every single life group, you see them every single Sunday, you're carrying equipment together like, I don't want to pick on the health team or whatever, or the AV guys, okay? But you see them every single week and they're never getting the thing done, you know? Like, they're supposed to finish this one project, so something else, you're like, "Oh my God, I can never marry a person like that. Oh my God," you know? So some of you are so literally, you don't see the potential people. So can I encourage you? There are some people that are right next to you. Not here, okay? Some of you are like, "I'm ready, Jesus. I'm ready." Like, can you imagine that person's turning that to, "Are you ready?" You know? Okay, let's be clear here. Like, there might be some people who are next to you. What I mean by that is, there are people within your sphere that might be your future spouse, but you just rule them out because you don't see the potential. Can I just encourage us with this? Sometimes guys, let me address the ladies. Ladies, you mature faster than guys. It is proven statistically and biologically, you mature faster than guys. Men, we are like brutes. We're like, "Oh, oh, oh, oh." And can I just say this to us? Because sometimes guys mature a little bit later. What I would say, some practical thing is this: see who they hang out with. Who are their mentors or their disciples? That will also give you some clue. Because that means that they're hungry to learn. They want to get discipled. I will say, if they don't have anyone discipling them, that should be a yellow flag. Same with girls. If there's no older sister investing in them, that should be also a sign. So look at their life. You know, who's influencing them? And that will help you. Even though you cannot see it at this moment, there might be some potential. Ladies, can I also say this? There is a prime window when you're it. What I mean by "you're it" is like all the guys are like. But then what happens is that there becomes another window that starts closing. And I have to say this carefully. Because some of you have such a high standard. And please, don't miss on it. You should have standards. You should have things that you really are non-negotiables. But some of you, you're like, you're non-negotiable It's like, he has to be 6'5".
I don't know how much that is in centimeters. 190 centimeters. I don't know. Is that tall enough?
He has to be 6'. We're in Asia. The average height for guys is like 5'6". All right, come on now. So like, you have all these images of like people that you've seen in movies. The descendants of the moon. No, I'm just kidding. Of the sun. And that guy, so cute because he has such nice skin. He's plastered all over Korea for skincare. You're like, he's got to have that kind of skin.
I would worry if he spends more time in the bathroom than you, lady.
So what I'm trying to say is sometimes all you see is here now rather than looking into the future. And there might be some guys who might not be the catch of the day
or the catch of the century. All right, no,
he might not be the catch.
But that duck would be like, I'm a swan, baby, I'm a swan. So never know. Let me just quickly go on. So the D is devote to loving God and loving people. I got a sign that all the married couples are here, so I got to get it going, okay? Devote to loving God and loving people. Do that right now. Remember, your relationship with God, priority, and purposeful in relationship with other people. And can I just say, when you do not love yourself, I realize you have a hard time loving others. Like some of you are, like you just hate yourself. And you have this tendency to just kind of think poorly of yourself. That's why you cannot love people around you, because you're always going to be thinking, what do they think about me? That's why you got to be secure and to be able to love God and love yourself the way he made you. Be secure in that. Don't compromise. Don't let other people say, oh, you're too fat, or, oh, God, I like girls with long hair. So you're like, grow, grow, grow. You know, like, oh, I like girls with this kind of thing. And you're like, I mean, my God. Like, I would say be careful, because then as soon as you don't have those things, then he's going to turn to somebody else. My encouragement to you is this. Be who you are and be secure in who you are, because you love God, because you know that he loves you. Then there will be someone who will love you for who you are. I want to encourage us with that. So devote yourself to loving God and loving people. Grow in this right now. The more you grow in this, the more when you get into a relationship, it's going to be a healthier relationship. My wife and I, when we do premarital counseling, one of the things that we teach is simply the three letters. Let me teach you the three letters. We have the A, the H, and the M. And so I'm going to demonstrate this for us. What's up, Israel? Come out here, my man. So you guys all know Israel? Amen? Okay. Brazil. Okay, so one of the things that my wife and I, we do is we're just talking about those three. The letters are what?
A, H,
and M. So we said, if you're in a relationship and you're in an A-frame relationship, so let's try to make an A. And as we're making this A, if one person leaves, right, go ahead and walk away. And I've seen many couples who are like that. They're A-frame. They're so dependent on each other. If that person isn't there, they're like, I don't want to go to church because he's not there. Or like when she's not there, like, oh, I don't want to. Like, you are so dependent on that person. That is an unhealthy relationship. The H is, let's make an H. So we can stand on our own. So you can let go. We can stand on our own. We're independent. And then we once in a while just kind of touch, say, hey, how are things going? Okay. And we're too independent. That's not a very healthy relationship. But you got to get the M for University of Michigan. No, anyway, you got to get the M. The M is what? You could stand on your own, but you choose to be in a relationship together. Are you with me? Come on, let's get my hat. Number five. So B is what?
Build good friendships.
O?
Open
open up a spiritual community, and somebody wants me to hurry. and then the T. Okay, the E is examine your heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? This is what the Bible tells us, that a lot of times we don't even understand our hearts. So always examine your heart. Are you loving God? What are your motives? Why do you want to be in that relationship? Or why are you responding that way? Sometimes when you're in a relationship, some of you are in a relationship right now, there are a lot of things you manipulate. You try to do things. And why are you doing that? That's not very healthy. And so you got to be able to examine your heart. So once again, a lot of times in a relationship, you have to sometimes even have to spend that time in forgiveness, in repentance, and being able to love one another. And the lastly, D, is develop into the person you want to marry. This is something that a lot of people forget. Somebody like, oh, I'm looking for this. And then you go, are you that person? They go, no. Because let me explain why this is important, this last one. Develop and become that kind of person that you want to marry. Some of you look at that guy and like, he's so dreamy. He loves God. He wants to serve him. He wants to do all this stuff. But you right now, you're just like, eh, God is whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, he won't even give you the time of day. Trust me. And then let's flip around. These girls, you know, they're like just trying to love God. And there's just, there are things that are important to them, the things of the kingdom. And here you are, you're just like playing video games all day long. She will not even consider you. She's out of your league. Why is this important? Because whatever it is that you want, the type of person that you want, the loving, caring, all that kind of stuff, the sacrificial, if you're not like that, then what happens is that the person that who is sacrificial, they will not want to marry a person who's selfish. Are you with me? So when you become the person that you want to marry, then that person that you are wanting to marry, then what happens is that they become the person in your league. One of the illustrations I give all the time in all my relationship talk is this. Run hard after God. And then look to your left. As you're running, of course, you can do two things at once. Look to your left and look to your right. And if there's somebody running alongside you, reach out and run together. Come on now, Jesus. Because when that person is running hard after God, but you're not going to be in the picture. But if you're running hard after God and they're running hard after God, what's going to happen is strangers in the night. You know, you're going to see each other like, whoa. Come on, let's get the married couples up here. I'm going to introduce them to you. I think we're going to, are we going to be up here? Okay, we're going to be up there. Wow. Okay. Oh, am I up there too? Okay. Oh, the right side? Okay. Hold on, okay? Hold on. Ta-da! Hi! We're back. So dramatic. Maybe we could turn off the projector if it's possible. I don't know if it's even possible. Are we able to turn off the projector? All right, just because I was looking at time, I realized I spent too much time just blabbing on and on. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have them introduce themselves so that you guys can at least, some of you already know them, and maybe just kind of quickly introduce yourself, who you are, what you're doing, and all that kind of stuff. And then there's a bunch of questions that people have for you guys, all right? So we're going to try to answer some of those questions. And then we are actually going to play this newlywed game just to see how well they know each other. It's going to be so much fun. Can I tell them what happened? They were nervous. They're like, oh my God, what if we don't? And I said, don't worry. You're just being real, you know? Being real. All right. So, Dave, you want to start? And we'll just go this way.
Yeah. My name's Dave. I was born in the U.S., grew up there in Michigan. And I pretty much, I went to college there in Sarah. Right now, and right now I'm a teacher in Hong Kong at an international school. We have three kids.
I'm Sarah, his wife.
Did you guys ever hear of that phrase, the opposites attract, but later on, opposites attack? All right, so... Oh, yeah, one. Okay, you guys can hold on.
Okay, hey guys, my name is Jackson. I'm from Singapore. I was born in Singapore, grew up there until college, where I went to the U of M, and that's where I was part of the church. Now I'm in Hong Kong working as an engineer. I love my job. And Hong Kong is beautiful. Dim sum is good.
Do you love your wife too?
I love my wife too.
Okay, okay. I wanted to make sure. Okay.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I'm kind of from the States, but I lived in many different places. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Woo! That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and give them the board here, because they're going to actually write their answers. All right? Now, I need you guys to kind of like turn away from each other. Okay? You guys can turn away from each other back to back. And then I'm going to ask a series of questions, and then we're going to have them answer, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and ask the questions, and then I'm going to have either the husband or the wife to write down their answers, and then we're going to compare and see how well they know each other. You're going to only have 10 seconds. Are you with me? All right, so it's got to be quick. It's one of those quick-firing kind of things. And then when I say flip or turn the board around, then you guys have to show it. And then you guys, if they match, let out a shout of like, yeah, you know, I will listen to you, you know, and stuff like that. Okay. So, and what we're going to do is the couple that gets the most correct answers on this will win the HMCC Couple of the Year Award. All right, we're going to have the wives go first to write down something, all right? So what is your husband's biggest pet peeve? So a pet peeve is something that really bothers them. Now, if someone has too many, then it could be a problem. So what is your husband's biggest pet peeve? Yeah, that, and then the husband will write as well. All right. Sarah is writing an essay because Dave has a lot of pet peeves. I'm kidding. I keep on forgetting you're a lefty. I keep on forgetting. By the way, as they're writing out their answer, I've known Dave and Sarah for what, 15 years now? Has it
18.
Been 18? I've known them for 18 years. I've known Rachel for about 18. And then Jackson, I've known you for what, 16 maybe? Yeah. 16 or so. And so give me a board. And add a... I'm just kidding. On the count of... Sarah, you're still writing? Okay. Wow. All right. Are you guys ready? On the count of three, I want you guys to show it to the audience, and then you guys can look at it towards each other. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. What is it?
Toilet paper.
Oh. And what did you guys write? Racist, people who are racist.
Oh. Oh.
One and one. That's pretty good. Okay, husbands, are you ready? You can cross it out with the napkin there. Husbands, are you ready? What is one of your wives' talent or gifts that you admire? Just one, okay, Dave and Jackson? Just one. I know there's so many, but just one. What is one of your wives' talents or gifts that you really admire? Let's see if their answers match. Remember, we only have 10 seconds. All right. 3, 2, 1, show. I don't know about you, but if I was sitting where you're sitting, I'd be like, this is rigged. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not, because I'm even getting these questions for the first time myself. So all I can say is, you guys are pretty amazing. Wow. So how long have you guys been married?
8 years?
7.5. 7.5. That's the magic number. You need about 7. That's when you fight all the time. All right, are you ready? Okay. Wives, here we go. A couple more, there's several more here. What is your husband's favorite food dish that you make? We should ask that with the husband. Y'all cook? What is your husband's favorite food dish that you make? And afterwards, you gotta tell us your weight? No, I'm kidding. All right. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. This is not working. Okay, all right, all right. Okay, husband, what is your wife's worst sin? I'm getting it. Wow, this is amazing. You guys are 3 for 3. Is it 3-2? Oh, you guys did. Oh, you didn't match. Oh, the first one you met. Well, wait. I thought you guys both got it. You did it. What was your favorite? Toilet paper? Oh, the pet peeve. See, the problem is you have too many, man. And then, you know, she had to guess out of all of them. So that's not working. Okay, here we go. Okay, are we ready? Oh, husband, the spiritual leader of the home. What is your wife's favorite Bible verse? And Hezekiah chapter 3, verse 1 is not one of them, okay? That's a church. Oh, you can paraphrase if you want. But you guys all went on mission, so you guys memorized a lot of verses, no? Yeah? And please don't say Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, okay? All right, are you ready? 3, 2, 1, show. Oh! Did they get it right?
Yeah.
Whoa! Damn, I'm just going to be right over here. Just like right over here. Let me just say this. The longer you're married, if my wife was here, we'll get everything wrong, okay? So there's a correlation, okay? The longer you've been married. Okay, are you ready? Number 5. Here we go. We're going to ask the wives. What is something that you do that blesses your husband the most? What is something that you do that blesses or makes your husband just so happy? This is a good question, because if they get it wrong, this will be a good discussion topic on the MTR on the way back. This is why I'm not happy. Are we ready? I'm just kidding. I'm like I said, I'll be the first one. If Christina was here, we would not have done very well. So are you guys ready? 3, 2, 1, show. Okay. A great home cooked meal. Scratching his back. What? Dave is saying it's too personal. Okay, wait. Watching what? Watching movies and let him sleep in. All right. None of them got it.
Is it chill? Number six, quickly. Let's try to finish it off here. What does your wife appreciate most about you as a father? This is for the husband. What does your wife appreciate most about you as a father? What do you think she will write? I was gonna end, these questions are really good. These are really good. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, show. Spending quality time with kids. He's very goof playing with the kids. We'll give you credit for that. How many, what is it? How you make Kayla laugh? Working hard. Oh, okay. Okay. Hey, so what's the score right now? It is 3 for the yawns and 4 for the E's, all right? Are you ready? Here we go, 2 more. Wise, are you ready? This is a question for you. What is one trait your husband loves about you and was most drawn to? I think the questions are harder on the husbands because if they get it wrong, So instead of doing it all at the same time, I realized that there was someone told me that some of you in the back can't really read it, so I'll read it out loud. So we'll start with the yees, because I think they're almost finished, all right? So don't show, Jans, don't show your answers yet, and don't talk, please. And are you ready? Are you ready, yees? Okay, are you also writing in Chinese? Okay, okay, all right. On the count of 3, 2, 1. Kindness, kind, gentle, caring. Aww. You guys want to change? You guys want to change it? You guys want to change? Okay. Okay. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Outgoing personality, laughter, nice person. We get that credit. Yeah, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. All right, husbands. This is the last question for this time. And this is do or die. I know, bro, man. Lord, we just pray for Dave right now. And this is a really good question, though. That's a really good question. Okay, husbands, are you ready? What does your wife think is one of the best memories you had together? Don't mess it up, brothers. I'm telling you right now. This is, oh, my. Oh, Lord. So many. Oh, that's a good answer. So many. That's a good answer. Sin of self-protection right there. Okay, all right. We'll start with the yawns first this time. Okay, for the big finale. So many. Oh, you're not ready. Most memorable. What the wife is going to say. The best memory you guys had together. Okay. Dave and Sarah, are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Maui honeymoon, our marriage day. Same thing, honeymoon, marriage. We'll give the credit, yeah. Are you guys ready? Ease. 3, 2, 1. Biking every day to Stanford, Venice. So many memories, all right. Okay. Well, let me just, you know what? It's tied. Tiebreaker. Okay, I got one. Are you guys ready? This is going to be off the cuff. The question is this, and I will ask the wives. How long do you think your husband had to wait after talking with me? Or not just me, there were other pastors. So other pastors. Calculator. Wow. This is gonna be awesome.
This is one thing that you guys don't know, but I kind of have the joy of knowing, all right? So let's start with the yeast, all right? So let's see, Rachel, like, do you, well, first, before you show us, do you think that he waited a long time? He did? Well, that shows you his determination and how much he was drawn to you. So what would you say? 2 years. Jackson? What I'm surprised by, he didn't have it by the hour. You know what I'm saying? All right, here we go. The yawns, okay? This is going to be fun. Because those of you who are college students, you're going to have them here sharing their story. And then you guys will have the yeast for the single adults. How long did Dave wait for you? 7 years. Wow. Okay. There's a passage in the Bible that says to God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. For Dave, he might have wanted to quit. But I think they this is when Dave actually said you were going to approach, right? Was that the approach? But Sarah counted how long he liked her.
7 years.
7 years. That is like Jacob. Amazing, amazing. Come on, let's give them a hand, amen.